I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The power glove for your Nintendo Entertainment System. Now you and the games are one. Everything else is child's play.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, I like child's play. She should watch her mouth, though.
Yep.
Chucky's gonna get her.
Chucky will get you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Play Retro. This is Play Retro. We talk about old video games here. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and my zapper won't work with this flat screen. Maybe Rob can fix it for me. Hey, Rob, fix this. No? Okay. Well, back to the garage with you then. Maybe I can power glove it into submission. I'll just play on my Amberdick.
Power glove it into submission. Yes, Amberdick. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I equip my robotic operating buddy, Rob, with a light gun zapper and the power glove. And I think I may have made an error in judgment. Because now Rob, well, he's taking me hostage and is demanding that I assist with his stupid gyromite high score. No way, dude. I ain't no wizard.
Mm-mm.
Now, spin your own gyros to collect virtual dynamite, you slow-ass piece of plastic junk. I'm going outside. Peace!
Yep.
Rob couldn't follow me, man. He's just like, he's just a piece of plastic.
No, he's stationary. Barely did anything, you know? He looked cool, which we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how cool he looked, but he did very little else. There were some games, there was some stuff, but we're here today to talk about the NES peripherals of the day. Light Gun, the Zapper, Rob, the Robot, although we put Bob in the title for some reason, the Power Glove, all these things.
The Power Glove.
All right, so stay tuned.
I never had any of these things. I can't wait to talk about it.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing, except for the Zapper. I had the Zapper.
I had two things, Zapper and the glove. And I wish I still had the glove because those are hard to get now.
Yeah,
I would love
it. But it's okay because if you even had it, would you wear it? Would you be able to put on your big man hand?
On my big fat man hands? Probably not. Yeah. These are too beefy now. Look at these hands. They're huge.
You know what would be funny? They made a small and a large. It'd be hilarious if you just ordered the small and didn't realize it. And then you got it in. You're like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah, what is wrong
with
my effing mitts? What the frick? Anyway, we'll get to all that in a minute. It's going to be a fun one today, talking about hardware for a change and some of the games they came with, but it'll be fun. So you NES heads, get ready. In the meantime, I wanted to mention a couple of quick things. Usually when we do a show and it's like about a game, I'll play that game when we're talking, you know, before we talk about it, and then we'll talk about it. And sometimes I'll say, yeah, I'm going to dip back in there and whatever. And maybe it helped this week because we knew we weren't doing specific games. It was going to be hardware, so maybe that helped it, but I ended up playing a lot more Super Smash TV than I thought I was gonna.
Oh, so good. How did you enjoy it? I was very tempted to finally try out the Ant stream on my Xbox.
Did you?
But I have not. I have not.
I have not either. So the way it works on there is you get the basic thing for on Game Pass. It just comes with it. But then you got to buy the games, right? Is that the deal?
Right. That's the deal. You said, well, no. You buy, so you get the Game Pass for free.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know.
Well, you don't get the Game Pass
I know that
for
you
free.
Usually what you do is you get credits on Ant Stream.
Okay. How do you get those?
I think they give you so many every month free, and you can like use them like, I'm not explaining exactly right. It's been at least a year since I've used this. Maybe they've changed the model some, but essentially you get so many free credits, tokens, whatever they want to call them. And you can play so many games with that. And then if you want more, you have to purchase more. So I'm assuming they've continued this business model onto the Xbox. So yeah. If you would get the basic service with the Xbox Game Pass and maybe get more credits than you do if you just buy it on the PC, I don't know. I've got to check it out.
I got to check it out.
Maybe
too.
Somebody knows.
Yeah, I would assume there's probably some rewards to being a Game Pass member. Later on, like next month, I'll get more whatever these credits are. I don't know. I do want to check it out. But the one thing I do wish that game supported was, and I guess I could do a control config and get all nuts with it, but I wish you could proper dual stick that game, like on a Steam Deck or anything with two sticks.
I think you would be able to on the Anstream, because I think you can adjust the adjust the controller, and the the Xbox of course has two analog
sticks
for your dual sticks.
Yeah. I tried to play it on, where is it? Oh, I don't have it down here. But I tried to play it on my Steam Deck, and it didn't. There was no controller config that I could find that would let me tweak that. I could probably
tell
do something.
You, man, yeah. Ultimate experience. PlayStation 2,
that version,
that arcade collection. Yeah. That's the
did
best,
that support,
the best I had.
Did that support the second stick as you're shooting? Your directional shooting.
Both your analog sticks by default. It was using your analog sticks.
That's how you want to play this game. Because look, I understand the limitations of the time, and also in the SNES days, you use the X, Y, and B, A buttons to fire, and that's fine.
Fire!
You can get by. But I need this to be proper dual stick analog, man.
Yeah.
And then I'll play it all. I'll never stop playing. And then I'll just play it till I'm dead.
Dude, play it till you're dead.
Yeah.
You don't need to be alive. You can play it when you're dead.
Such a great game. And if you're just hearing this and going, wait a minute, you guys talked about that? Oh, yeah. Last week, big time Smash TV discussion. All right. Get over there.
We smashed it.
Brian, what'd you do this week with your retro life?
So I didn't have any of the NES stuff that we were talking about this week. I like usually put hands on stuff. But what I did have is I had my Master System Phaser Gun.
Is that what it's called? Phaser or what? What do they call it?
Yeah, it's called a light phaser is what it's called, with a P-H-A-S-E-R, light phaser, Sega.
How come they didn't get in trouble with like Star Trek for using the term phaser?
I don't know. It even kind of looks like it's kind of got that style and stuff. I guess it's because it was a phaser spelt with a, I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know how they did it. Yeah. I don't think anybody cared, to be honest with you. It's like Star Trek's Gene Roddenberry's like, whatevs. I got this light phaser that came with my Master System, which I bought last month at the Retro Game Exchange. I tried to use it, and I'm using Rambo. I'm playing Rambo 3 with this bad boy, or trying to. Pull on the trigger, the screen flashes, which means that it's at least getting the trigger push, but it's not detecting anything. And I did, for anybody calls, I said, Brian, you can't play it on a modern TV. I know, I got a CRT.
Yeah.
I know how light guns work.
Yeah.
I tried it and it just wouldn't work. But then when I started looking, getting a little closer look, I noticed that the little tiny screws, I took it apart just briefly.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the screws were had a little bit of rust on them. And when I opened it up, there's some weights in a lot of these things to give them the feel of quality. And so there's some couple of weights in here. They're metal weights and they got like a little rust buildup too. So I'm assuming that probably this board has got some problems, so I'm probably gonna have to get a different light phaser, which disappointed me. I was super sad, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
I understand.
They're reasonable. I think, on eBay, they're like $20, $25 or something.
They're
like
much cheaper than the versions you can get on Amazon, which are about $50. They also don't have the orange tip, which I don't know.
Yeah. That's a Congress-related thing from the, 1988? And Bob Dole said, we're going to compromise. We don't, because kids were getting killed by because they were wielding toy guns and they looked real. And so we decided you got to have orange tips on them. That was the compromise, and so we got that on this one.
Bunch of these though, you find them on eBay, they're sans the tip, most of them.
Yes, because they're insane, so you better put that back on there and go outside. When am I going to be outside with my with my lights?
I don't know when I would do that.
I'm
trying to think of when I'd be outside goofing around with that thing. It had a cable on it, first of all, so you're dragging a cable around unless you cut it off or something.
Yeah. Well, when these first released, it might have been, it was probably before 88. So that didn't really go into play until around 88. So a lot of those may be some of the earlier light guns, or maybe somebody just put some tape on mine. I don't know.
Yeah. You can get these for, like you said, as low as $20-$25.
Yeah. They're not expensive.
Not bad.
And got a few games. The Rambo 3 one is the one I was most interested in. So I picked it up. It's one I played before. And so I'm going to do just that. But I do have, just didn't quite make it. It's going to be here tomorrow. I did order a Nintendo Zapper off eBay.
You did.
And okay. I ordered it from North Carolina, which is just right above me. And I was hoping it'd be here, but it won't be here till tomorrow.
So that will that work with the Mini, I wonder?
I wouldn't. That's a good question. It should, because the Mini has the ROMs. And as long as you're putting it through, maybe not. Okay, so this may be the problem. It's HDMI out only on the Mini. So
yeah, but the control. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, you'd have to scale it down to go into anytime. Yeah. This is the reason why modern TVs have problems, is because they're upscaling
right
the signal, and that creates a timing issue. Downscaling. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying, out of the box, you're probably not going to have that experience. You can actually order light guns now that are more universal, and they work with modern consoles.
I've seen some of that. The ones that seem to be the most useful are like these ones that you just replace. Not replace, but they stand in place of your VR controllers. So you end up in VR games with guns. That makes a lot more sense to me. Of course, they don't have the zapper light flash thing, and they don't need it. Mm-hmm, but regular TVs are all effed, man. You can't. It doesn't work the way it used to.
No, it doesn't. It's a shame. I don't understand why they couldn't either. Because I mean, I guess I don't know. I guess the input, that doesn't make any sense. If light guns were a big thing again suddenly for whatever reason, but I'm with you. It's probably going to be more in a VR world. I mean,
yeah. Why would they?
No one's going to be.
Why would they do it? This is past. Ridiculous. This really is past. We'll get more to that in a minute these accessories, but. For the most part, I just don't see these things taking off again. As accessories. So, and plus, motion control now, you've got all the technology in the world to aim anything at anything. Like, just even those stupid Wiimote, or not Wiimote, Switch freaking Joy-Cons.
Yes.
Those things can aim like crazy. So,
why
would you bother with
that? That's what they really have done, right? Because didn't the Wiimote, it had so that you could, you got little attachments, you put your Wiimote. I got one around here somewhere. You basically take, it's a plastic shell. Mm-hmm. I always feel cheated with that. Do you feel cheated with that stuff? Like the plastic shell that you put your controller in?
Well,
I feel kind of cheated when I get those things.
You're basically plastic. Just creating... All you're doing is adding a holder, I guess, to it.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather pay. So the bonus side is it's very inexpensive. You can pick up these little, little steering wheel things to put your Wiis in, Wiimotes and everything, as well as the guns and stuff. And like Nerf, I think, had one. I think that's one I have is a Nerf one. And they're super inexpensive because it's plastic. Yeah. But I'll be honest with you, I'd rather spend an extra $30 on a dedicated device.
But if you think about it, like this stuff on this. So here's a PS5 controller.
Yeah, yeah.
This here and this here, the two handles, there's nothing in those. They're just empty. Yeah. So if you start really thinking about it, there's a lot of wasted space even in the controller itself.
Aren't the handles, don't they have the little spinner vibration thing?
It's definitely got all the force feedback stuff in there.
Yeah,
dual sense force feedback. But I don't think those... I don't know what the X-ray is on this. I'd have to see a teardown to actually see what's in here. There's probably some circuit board and wire crap, but I think most of it's up here in the body of the thing.
In the booty.
Stick it in the booty. Yeah.
But yeah, are you like that too? Like, I would rather have a dedicated quality device over top, because every time I've ever put those little plastic things in there, I just feel like such a, I don't know. I feel like a full experience.
It's pretty weird.
It's pretty weird. Okay, good. It's not just me. Okay,
that's not just you. I don't like doing it.
Yeah. Good.
Well, let's talk about the peripherals we do like. Maybe these are ones we like. I don't know if we do. Well,
before we do that, I posted the PCEM Play Retro zip file in the Discord server. Again, if you haven't downloaded that, it's only like 500 megabytes or something. It's got Windows 98 second edition, and it's got a couple of games already installed on it. It's got the Proto Web setup. So all you got to do is just download that, launch the file. It's a Windows file though. Sorry. And you're right in there. Windows 98.
Nice.
Sorry. Go ahead now.
Fine. Yeah.
All right. Move on.
Finally, let's get back to the 90s and live our Windows dreams. All right, everybody.
Right. Well, I'm just doing that because I know that we'll probably be doing some, DOS and PC games in the near future. I thought it might be a nice little way for us to
experience help. It. Yeah, it's definitely going to help. All right, everybody, sit back.
Shall we play a game?
Sure thing. We're going to play a game. Not really. We're going to play some games, and they require the use. They don't always require it, but they are better if you use the accessories they were designed for. And Nintendo is no stranger to this idea. They have been making these for a really long time, and they still do it today. That Yabo or Zabo, what was it called? The cardboard shit you did. That was a thing. I forgot the name of it. Yabo? Slabo?
I'm just looking up Nintendo cardboard. Labo is like a lab. So that's like a lab facility, right?
Yep,
so,
they got that. Another modern thing would be that workout ring. Another one would be the Wii Fit. Remember Wii Fit, is it?
The Wii Fit, man. You can find those things all the time whenever I go to little stores and stuff. There's always a Wii Fit.
Yep, and they weren't the only ones. You know, obviously Sega and everybody else had stuff. But like today, you can get some pretty crazy stuff. Nintendo's Mario Kart real life remote control Mario
that's
Kart
cool. The
thing.
One that rides and drives around the house and it's got a little camera on it. So you feel like you're actually in that. I really want one of those.
Yeah.
Like really hard.
It's a
but
lot
I
of
just
work,
know though. It's going to be absolutely impractical.
Yeah.
And it's going to be shit because there's just no way. There's just not enough room in my house to go quickly and have a good experience.
I don't disagree. I think that's the main problem with it. But I like that they're always willing to put their necks out a little bit. And others do too. Yeah. The activator for Sega back in the day was this thing that was supposed to sense your fighting moves. It didn't really work, but it was a thing you could
do. That was like a standing pad, right? Like it had like signals that like you basically held your arms out and it like impeded.
It was like a little, thing, and it had like, wasn't even a ring. It was like an octagon, kind of had edges, you know, hard edges to it.
That's what I'm thinking of. Does that like use... like it's almost sounds like a theremin, like you know how they played that. You've heard the Star Wars. Don't kill me, Star Trek theremin noise. And
like, oh,
yeah. You know people they play. You ever seen anybody play one of those things?
Oh hell yeah, those those are awesome. They're so cool. Okay, I found
always
a picture
reminds me of that technology.
Found a picture of the activator. You can just see it here, chat. But this is like a how many sides is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Impressions of the theremin. Still killing me.
It is literally an octagon, I guess.
Anyway,
makes sense. There's a box. This was a big thing for a bit. It was late in the Genesis life cycle, but it's what, I don't know, it's what Sega had to do. And you could play Street Fighter 2 on it.
Yeah, fighting games. That's we'll find out today. The most successful devices, peripherals, are the ones that make use of the library already currently accessible, right? So it's tough to make an accessory and then make games that are dedicated to it unless you also have like a little bonus and go, but you also can control other games with this. You know, that's kind of what you want, right?
In fact, in that Zapper commercial I played at the top of the show, even though that was an audio cue, if you watch the video version of that, it's a guy with a power glove and he is playing stuff that's Power Glove specific, but then he goes on to play a racing game. He's going with his wrist like this, like he's spinning.
Yeah, dude.
But the worst was him playing Super Mario Brothers. It just looked completely stupid.
Right. I want to talk about the Power Glove, but I got some complaints about the Power Glove.
Power Glove's got problems.
The design.
It's got problems. It should have.
Every one of these.
I should have kept mine. I'm pissed that I got rid of it because I would just like it as a relic, but it was not a very playable thing.
No, none of these are.
None of these
except
are.
Except for the Zapper. The Zapper is actually. The first peripheral we're talking about is actually probably the most functional and still actually enjoyable.
Yeah.
You can still enjoy a Zapper.
Yeah. And I think, you know, without the Zapper, does anyone even know what Duck Hunt is? Is that even a thing in gamers' minds? Duck Hunt was specifically designed to work with it. So was things like Hogan's Alley. And there were other big titles, but I think Duck Hunt, out of all the shooter games available, and there were some third party stuff too, I think Duck Hunt is the king. It's the winner.
Duck Hunt is fun because of the Zapper. It is a legend because of the dog and his snickering and the fun that game is having ducks just fly up. So if you ever played Duck Hunt, Dunk Foot. Okay. All right.
Dunk Foot.
Duck. What was that?
I don't know.
Where'd that come from?
I like it.
Get back in my face, tongue. Yeah. So if you've ever played Duck Hunt, you know, simple game. You have some bushes along the bottom. You got a dog. What kind of dog is he?
He's a hound dog type deal.
He's a hound dog. And so then you got ducks that come flying up, mostly mallards, right? I think if I remember correctly. And so you just got to be quick on the draw. You got to pull the trigger and zap them. And then, yeah, it sounds like
missed,
that.
If you missed, the dog would laugh. If you hit him,
I
got him
both. The laugh.
He would come up because he was like, "Yeah, Oh, that sound. I love that sound. Anyway, it's Nintendo as hell because it's like raw, fun gameplay, super simple, easy to get into, not hard to understand. Addictive. You want to beat the score. You want to
colorful.
Yeah.
It's just just one of the best well-designed. This was a first party peripheral for Nintendo to help bridge the gap that was a failing console market in the US in trying to convince people to buy consoles
right
at a time when they weren't doing
it. Right. They were they were killing it in Japan.
Right.
This was a system seller here. Like, you would buy the bundle that came with the Zapper. It was pretty relatively cheap. I don't think it was super expensive, maybe $149.
Right.
You got the whole thing, a Zapper, this game, and I think even Mario came with it as well. And that sold consoles. Mm-hmm. It sold me. So this is why it's an important one for me. My first NES was this bundle.
You had the action set. There was a couple of sets that came out early on. Yep. There was one that was just the Zapper. Once again, Nintendo trying to get in here and kind of break into somewhat of a, like an entertainment system as well as toys. So they were trying to pretend like they were anything but a video game system. And so you'd either get, like me and you, I probably saw the action set, which is the one that came with the Zapper and came with the combo cart of Mario and Duck Hunt all in one cart. And then if you were lucky or fortunate enough, you could have got the deluxe set with Rob and the Gray Zapper and all that stuff. That was a little more expensive.
Yeah, it was a little more. You're going to pay through the butt for that.
Oh, yeah. You're going to play through the butt for that, Rob.
Yeah.
Going to rob you.
Yeah. Rob will rob you. Turns out now, Rob, I didn't have. So real quick on the technology front, the Zapper worked in a really funky way. Like, it seemed like magic, but what was happening is, and you could see it in the video. In fact, I'll play it again and we can watch it. When you shot, it would flash, and also you would see a square around where you shot. Whether it was the bird or you missed, there was like a white square. And the way it worked was the trigger would do this thing where the screen would change, and the light that came out of the gun would then hit the screen during that moment, and then the game would determine, okay, that was X this far up and Y this far down or whatever. It would figure out the coordinates of the thing and do this all in relatively quick time, and it would respond by either killing the duck or missing. And when you're a kid, though, you're like, this is a magic thing. This is magic.
It is magic. It actually worked the opposite of the way light guns had worked prior to this. If you've ever seen a CRT, it draws each line. And so whenever you squeeze that trigger, it flashes and it is able to locate. There's a photo sensor in the gun itself.
In the gun. It's
detecting the light, right?
Right.
Coming from the TV. And so when it detects that, it knows exactly where on the screen when you pulled the trigger, what was being rendered on screen. Mm-hmm. And it's magic. And it's important to note that they made sure that you couldn't cheat it, because a lot of light guns until this point, you could just point at a light and just squeeze the trigger and you're like, nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did it.
Yeah.
But they figured out a way to make it so that you couldn't just sit there and, you know, game the game. Fun. And that was Yokio, I believe, was the one who I can't remember. Anyway, I watched some documentaries on that part of it, and he had a philosophy which was pretty typical of Nintendo in general. Lateral thinking of withered technology is kind of the philosophy, which is like, take something that's already existing, that's mature and is kind of, you know, withering a little bit, and then make something new with it, because you can get it cheap, right? Because those components become cheap.
Yeah, they become very inexpensive. Now, what's funny is here in America, we had what you guys are all thinking of as a light gun, right? The orange and or sometimes they had the gray one or whatever. In Japan, the shit looked like this, dude. Like a real gun.
Yeah.
Like
a real Yosemite gun, right?
What were they thinking? Like, I guess guns weren't a problem in Japan the way they could be here. And so they
absolutely not. Yeah. We definitely had a gun problem here, as we've continued to do, because, you know, when you say everybody can have a gun, everybody gets a gun.
Yeah.
And so there was a real problem during the 80s with, I don't know how much of a problem it was. There was a real PR problem for sure. that kids with toy guns were getting, you know, getting killed because they were engaging with the police or whatever, and you know, getting shot. Or maybe other people. I don't know. Anyway, I wasn't there. Bob Dole was there. He was
Bob
very
Dole
angry
knew.
About it.
Bob Dole says, right. I know about it. Bob Dole says.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so they decided that they needed to make toy guns look less like real guns in the U.S. And Japan didn't have that problem. They wanted to go authentic. This is all about immersion. So they got the nice revolver looking gun for the Famicom. And we got this thing instead, which is cool. I actually like the Zapper.
The more production friendly one is this one here, which still looks like a real gun. That looks like an actual like Mac, not Mac 10, but you know, like some kind of you know, if you held this outside and waved it around, people go, oh no,
that's no, dude, put that up.
They may not see the cord, I guess, or whatever, but and of course, yeah, like you see, mentioned here in the States, we put orange tips on everything, so that was
yeah, orange tips. And Nintendo was like Nintendo definitely was aware of the cultural difference between, you know, Japan and America, and when they got the notification that the rule was an orange tip, you know, orange capping or whatever, they went, you know what, we're just going to make the whole gun orange. So you went from the gray and darker gray to this gray and orange controller, which I actually think looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you ever, I don't know if you ever got later into things like the Genesis had, Konami made a game I loved. What was that called? Hold on. Lethal Enforcers 1 and 2. Those are the games.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think I was talking about. Yes.
Konami made a pair of guns, blue and orange, but they looked like real guns. They were just colored blue and orange so that they wouldn't be confused for real guns. And these had actual, I don't know what the phone jacks are for.
Oh, yeah, I remember these.
They had they had built-in firmware or something. I don't know. But I bought these for my Genesis. And my Sega
CD. Like big giant pieces of candy is what it looked like.
Yes. And they were awesome. Oh my gosh, they were good. They just felt good. The click was good.
Yeah.
We played Lethal Enforcers on a big CRT for days.
Yes.
Loved it. But
anyway. Now, did they have force feedback? Because that became really important later. And the Zapper was just a piece of plastic with some weights in it to make it feel hefty.
These might have. I'm not sure actually if these did. I can't remember now if they moved.
Some of these things did. Like we're still in the first party. Nintendo's trying to figure out a marketing ploy to be able to sell systems as toys instead of game systems. So we haven't gotten to the third party stuff yet.
No, and there would be plenty of that to come. But what's funny about this is that this supported a ton of Sega CD games. That was its main use case for a long time. But it also worked on PlayStation for about 10 games and then worked on PlayStation 2 somehow for two games. Some Japanese thing I've never heard of, and Police 24/7 in the EU. But by then, I think we were kind of done with Lycans.
When you get down to it, it shouldn't be too difficult. I mean, you just got to worry about the pinouts and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And most of these ports were, I mean, like the 9-pin, like in the Sega Master System and 8-bit computers and stuff. I mean, the Atari, you could flip those things half the time, just pull them out of one and stick them in another half the time. So.
Yep. And again, I think there's also I shouldn't say again because we haven't said it yet, but it's, I think it was a way of recreating some of what arcades would do that you couldn't do at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of those things was, Area 51 or, you know, all these games with guns on them, the Terminator games, like, why can't we do that at home? Well, guess what? You can. You just got to buy this stupid looking pistol and you got to shoot ducks and it'll be fun.
When I had, so this would have been around 85. I didn't get an NES until probably closer to like maybe 88 or so. Yeah. I kind of got it late in life. Somebody else gave it to me. And so all I had was like either a 13 inch or maybe even a 15 inch. Is that a thing? I can't remember now. But anyway, the TVs were very small. So when you play Duck Hunt, you just basically just put the gun almost touching the screen.
Yeah, you could cheat like that. My brother Matt would do that. He'd get right up on the screen and just hold it there. Yeah. And then beep, 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 beep. Yeah. It was pretty lame.
What choice to have, because as a 13 inch screen, you pretty much have to be within 3 feet of it.
You're not wrong, but once I saw him do that, it kind of ruined the experience.
Yeah, it did. Hey, you're just cheating. That's what a lot of these physical systems had with, you know, it's like, it's kind of the honor system. You got to,
if you're going to cheat, like my Korean brother, I don't know why I had to tell you he was Korean, but he would get right up in that thing and just do it like a half inch away and go, oh, this game is bad. And I'm like, Matt, you're cheating.
You're cheating.
And then he'd leave. He'd be just like, okay, I'm
then
going
he'd be like,
else.
I'm out of here.
He'd go make ramen in the kitchen. And I would
Why did it have to be? Oh, was it good ramen?
He loved, dude, every day that dude made ramen. Yeah. And the house always smelled like ramen and kimchi.
Love me some ramen.
And I could eat it now.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Killing me. You're killing me. I'm going to get my zapper out and dip it in the...
Get your zapper out. Actually, throw your zapper away because we're about to look at this weird robot. So they made a robot, guys. The device is called Rob, and it stands for, as Brian said earlier, Robotic Operating Buddy. This came out in 1985.
Yeah, I got a buddy to play.
Yep. 1985 as well. And I guess the idea is that, you're playing with your buddy, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you wanted to play with your buddy. You don't want to play by yourself. You got the NES. One of the problems with, home consoles is lots of times just playing by yourself. And that was kind of an issue then because, a lot of arcade games were multiplayer. So, it's like two, three players. That's what's fun about them.
Yeah. And you're the kind of nerd that had no friends. Maybe your new friend
like
could
all
be this
us?
Robot. Yeah, like all of us. I'm going to say this about this device. I think it still looks way cooler than it deserves. It isn't nearly as functional as it looks because you could look at it now and go, I'll bet that moves around and checks your email and you could tell to turn the sprinklers on and all this stuff like you would some modern assistant. But it just sat there. It wasn't like,
It was, it's much more, it's very impressive. He looks a lot like Johnny Five, right? From Short Circuit, which didn't come out until the next year. So it was, all these robots are very popular. Had Transformers going on. From probably about in the U.S., probably between 78 to, but once we saw their droids in Star Wars, it was all robots
all the time. Yeah, yeah.
And we all wanted a robot. And my God, if you want to sell a game system and not call it a game system, make a robot that looks really cool. Because Rob looked like a lot of fun. He looked like a real robot. If you'd seen any industrial sized robots, these were kind of how they kind of look, sans the head, but their arms and stuff. Kind of like that robotic big.
No, the design works. It's a good design. Like
it's a great design
aesthetically.
And but he looks very much like Wally, which is derivative of Johnny Five. Yeah. But all these robots look similar. And he's really all he is a plastic base and a center spiral that goes up the middle that you can have him go up and down on. Mm-hmm. Essentially his body kind of goes up and down.
Yeah. There are really only two games that really took advantage of it. Gyromite and Stack Up.
Yeah.
I'm showing Gyromite at the moment on screen here. This is like, I never played this because I never had the robot, but I went and looked at some video and boy, what a basic ass game this is.
Yeah, it's just a basic. I mean, if you can imagine something like Mario, but without all the platforming, because all you really can do is kind of walk across beams and you're trying to avoid these, what are they called? Forget what they call little dudes. Anyway, they're little smicks is what they're called.
Smicks.
And you got to access areas of the screen that are being blocked. And the only way to move those walls out of the way to be able to go forward is to have Rob, the robot, control the second controller. So you take the second controller, you put it in Rob's hands, essentially.
Yeah.
Really,
and he plays with you.
Right. And you use your controller and you can hit I watched some videos on this. So you hit the start button and then you go into command mode and you can tell Rob to move, turn, grab a gyro. That's why it's called this. Gyromites. It's a little spinny thing, a little spinny top, little gyro. Mm-hmm. If you spin them, those things, they'll stand up, right? They'll stay standing up. It's like magic.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because you're a kid and everything seems like magic when you're a kid.
It all seems like magic. As a matter of fact, Rob the Robot's kind of like magic because when you really get down to it, he's physically pushing the buttons. You could literally have a friend, an organic operating buddy.
Yeah, a blood bag do it for sure.
If you had an oob, you could just have your buddy, press it.
I like Nintendo's brashness at saying, let's do something different and drive sales. And I think it works, for them. Most of the time, sometimes it fails miserably, but it doesn't matter. It's just like part of what they do. They're about gimmicks. Like nobody should have been surprised by the Wii U or the Wii for that matter, or any of the stranger things Nintendo tries to do where we're just like scratching our heads. Like, why did you think like DS, 3DS, those are successful consoles, but they're based on a really weird gimmick, right? two screens, 3D screen, right. Like all that stuff is so ganko sometimes. Yeah. But that's who they are. They've always been this robot and this zapper. This is what this is.
Yeah, they you know? Have a, this is the Nintendo's philosophy. If you haven't been following since the 80s, this is what they do. They have great faith in their games and anything they're developing. So they know their library is going to be strong. The only problem they have is getting those games into people's hands. And Rob is a device was not a success. It's not a great device. It doesn't do much. It doesn't add a lot of value to the system. But what it does is it gets your attention. They're using this, you know, there. It gets your attention. It gets you to purchase it. And then you kind of forget about it. And next thing you know, you got Mario in the system. And it doesn't matter that Rob is sitting over there not doing anything because you're in the economy now. You're in the Nintendo economy and you're in. Can't get back out.
No, you're in now. So, and you can never get out after that. I wish I had
3D, like the 3DS and stuff.
Yeah.
Total gimmick.
Totally.
There's no real value to the 3D, but it got us excited. It's like, I got it.
It did. It seemed neat at the time, but it's so funny that the 2D, I always turned the 3D off after a while because it's so annoying. Because you had to stare at exactly the right angle on it. But then the 2DS came and sold a crap. You can still buy 2DSs, they still make them.
Because at that point, they had the we had the library. We had this huge library. They got over the hump. The hump is the initial selling, right? It's like, what do you offer? And once you had the device, you had that sunk cost thing where it's like, oh, I'm in now. Might as well, you know, I'm into this system. I might as well go ahead and buy some more. But Rob, nothing but a gimmick to convince people that this was a toy and not a video game.
It's also, you could argue, and I would make this argument, that the Switch is the same thing. This is Nintendo doing the same thing they always do, which is saying, all right, we're going to do something weird. We're normally a company with a home console and a handheld, and then we keep iterating on the two of those, and they get weird and different, and they keep changing and whatever. How about the gimmick this time is they're the same device. Well, it plugs into my TV, I undock it and take it. Now, I know it's been a bit since 2017, but it seemed freaking groundbreaking at the time. It was like, what are they doing over there?
The fact that you could dock your portable gaming system was genius. The half step was the Wii U, which allowed you to play games, you know, relatively close to in your house where you could put the unit to a TV, but then you had your little handheld unit you could walk around the house and do stuff with. That was the half measure.
Yeah.
And they just rolled right into the Switch.
Not a great measure either. The Wii U.
No, not one of their better hits.
It was a crappy deal for sales. They sold horrible. The games that, there was a bad time for Nintendo.
Yeah.
But they've learned their lessons.
But Rob looks good on the shelf. Let me tell you, Rob is a handsome looking, retro future past.
Can we get those for can we buy those these days? Let's see.
Oh yeah, you can buy one. They're not too bad if you just get the base unit. If you're just really looking just to put it on display, you can even get a non-working one, $60 or so. Totally worth it for shelf decoration. And Rob showed up in other places too. He showed up in other video games as well, just as you know, a little nod to Rob.
Yeah, nod to Rob. Yeah, it looks like working ones are running around $149.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Not too bad
until you realize you're not really going to play with it.
Right.
I mean, you may play it one time. I don't think that many people have nostalgia for it, but if you did, you'd probably just play it once or twice.
No, I just want a busted one I can put on a shelf and look at.
Put on a shelf.
That's what I want. For all these, I want a glove. I don't care if it works. I just want it.
Your glove, same thing. Zapper. Functional.
You can
bring some people over and play some Duck Hunt. You can still do that.
You could still do that. But even then, that'd be fun to mount somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yeah. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah. I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Well, let's move on to the next one then. This is one that I owned. I wish I would have kept it. I don't know why I didn't. I'm irritated to this day because they're kind of expensive now. And that would be the Mattel Power Glove.
Yes.
A lot of people forget.
If we're not making Barbie movies, maybe we should make a Power Glove.
And people forget. They think this is a straight Nintendo product. It's not. Mm-mm. This is a third-party product, although it does appear that Nintendo and Mattel worked very closely together on this thing.
Yeah. Mattel was quite, from the stuff I saw, Mattel was quite insistent that Nintendo do this.
Yeah, they seem to be. So this is a wearable controller. It was inspired by the VPL Research Data Glove, like early VR tech stuff. And if you had it, well, you wore it on your wrist.
You wore it. It went on. This is the question I had. So I never had one of these. And you wore it on your right hand, right?
Yeah.
That seems backwards to me.
There was no lefty version of it that I know of. Or if it worked with lefties, too. I don't remember how it worked. If it changed sides, I don't know. But I don't.
That just seems counterintuitive to me because it seems like so my left hand, I can do some pretty rudimentary grabbing. You know, not terribly fine motor skills. But none of these games are going to be that fine. It's like Powerball Glove. You just grabbing and tossing stuff. But when I'm pressing the little controller that's on the wrist pad, I would have trouble doing that with my left hand. But if I was doing that with my right hand, it'd be much better. Am I backwards on that?
I'm trying to think. I swear it was on my right.
Yeah, it was definitely on your right. They definitely only made the right-handed Power Glove. It just seems like it wouldn't be smart.
That's an odd thing. Well, it's part of the problem with the device in full. When you have something that's one arm only, you're already running into trouble with I prefer my left, or I'm left-handed, or my arm hurts. I wish I could switch it over and use my left for a while because I've been playing too long, or whatever. You really couldn't do that. This game we're watching right now is Super Glove Ball. And Glove Ball, it's basically a pseudo 3D Breakout, kind of.
Yeah, Breakout. Yeah.
I had this game. It was all right. It got the job done. There was some fun to be had here. I didn't mind it.
Did you feel like Tom Cruise in Minority Report kind of like
managing stuff? I always feel like him. I'm always running, you know.
Right.
Doing my own stunts, that kind of thing.
Power Glove.
It was definitely not seeing future murders with my Power Glove, but
Come on.
It's a weird device, and I think most people's first experience with it was probably that movie The Wizard.
I do remember from The Wizard.
Yeah. Do you remember that? That was a big whoop.
I think they said in the movie, it's so bad. I think that's
yeah, it is bad. Didn't they say that in the movie or something?
They did. They said, but I'm trying to remember. I remember seeing it, and I thought, "Oh, that's cool." If you can get your product in a movie about video games, come on! I mean, everybody's gonna want one, right?
Yeah.
Nothing else even. Wasn't there like a Netflix movie not that long ago that was all about a rich kid who had had the Power Glove and other kids?
Oh, I don't know.
It was like a Christmas, 8-bit Christmas or something like that. I can't remember exactly. So huge amount of nostalgia around this bad boy.
Yeah.
But
it's
I don't remember
dumb.
If they said in The Wizard, they said, it's so bad, or they said, it's so bad, man.
No, it could have gone either way. I always forget who's in that movie too, but there's like Fred Savage and then what's his name? It sounds like Jack Nicholson when he was young. Can't think of his name.
Right, right. If I always think that Fred Savage is the wizard, but he's just a little hang on.
He's the hang on. Exactly.
Yeah, the hanger on.
He's not the wizard at all, although I think he gets the girl. I don't remember how that all went down.
Man, we got to watch that again.
That movie is just one long advertisement for Mario 3, Super Mario Brothers 3, which launched the same time as the film. But this made a small appearance. I remember thinking it was too cool to pass up, so I got one. And I remember it being kind of useless outside of the one game which I played, which was the one we just talked about.
I was curious about that. Did you get to play? Did you ever play any other games?
Were
you
curious? I tried to play. Okay, so you have all your standards, right?
Right.
I think I even tried to play Duck Hunt with it. Didn't work.
Oh,
but I played Mario with it. And here's how you play Mario with it. You use the D-pad and push the buttons.
it had a whole bunch of buttons, right? Like not just, it didn't have like just two buttons like an NES controller. It had the D-pad and a whole set of buttons.
It had a whole bunch of those. In fact, here, Chad, I'll zoom into this. You can see up here, you got this A up, A on, B up, B on. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And
those
then you had program buttons.
Right?
Yeah, you could program that stuff. Yeah. So it was like a shift almost. Anyway, you could do, there was potential here for like, I don't know, a game where you needed to do a lot of hacking
I'm
or
pretending,
something.
I'm pretending right now. Okay, I got my arm up, and I'm pretending I got the power glove on.
Yeah,
and I'm using my, I hold a controller. You use a whole two hands, right? So that works well. So I'm playing Mario, right? And I got the D-pad, but I'm having to use my index and middle finger to rock back and forth.
You could control the wrist part, the glove part to do jumps and stuff.
Okay, so like you could like release you. So this some kind of. I think they ended up going. There's a whole bunch of different ways to use sensors, and I think the early versions of this used lights or something like fiber optics. But I think the final release one that was super cheap used some kind of audio maybe did use the. I can't remember. There's a flex sensor. It was a flex sensor, so it could tell when your hands were flexed.
When your hands would flex, correct. And it was wired, I should mention. You always see pictures of this, and there's no cable.
Yeah.
It full-on had a cable. You had to be connected.
But was it – I looked at some of this stuff. And once again, I didn't have one of these, so I'm going to depend on your memory for this.
Yeah.
I thought it went to like a unit. So there was the glove, and then that plugged into a unit, and then that unit was essentially wireless, and you plugged in a receiver.
Oh, my memory is you went, well, now you're making me question it, but my memory was you went straight from this thing to your NES, and it had a good long cord, right. But it wasn't like a, there was no wireless involved as far as I know.
Right, right. Okay.
That's my memory though, but I, you know, long ass like time ago.
It's been a minute since you've had the power glove on your sweaty arm.
I want it now so bad. I would love one now. I want it to be all yellow and bad. Like someone find one of these and
sell it was kind of. Was it black? I'm trying to remember exactly. Like, was it mostly black?
It was mostly gray, depending on which side you're looking at. The hand part, the palm part was kind of black, dark gray. And then the outer side was a light gray. The little control box with the buttons was black. And then you had gray buttons on it. I mean, it still sort of matched the motif of your Nintendo business. What's weird about it, though, is it never... Honestly, I didn't know then and barely knew now that Mattel had anything to do with this.
Yeah, I knew nothing about the Mattel.
Because the branding had nothing to do with Mattel. It was all Nintendo all the time.
No.
So that's just weird. But
I watched it. On the Power Glove, I watched the gaming historian on YouTube. He made one, I guess, for this, about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And man, he started from the very beginning. I mean, he was like, then once in 1981, I'm like, whoa, dude, that's like 8 years earlier. And he kind of goes down the whole rabbit hole of VPL or visual programming language company that formed because one person was trying to create a visual programming language and another was working with the glove and VR and everything else. It's really deep dive, but man, all I could think the whole time though was that looks really sweaty. How long can you wear one of those things before you're like, okay, get this off me?
Not long. I found a photo of the kid and the wizard wearing it. So chat, that's what that looked like. And it looks like he's wired up as well. So I'm pretty sure you have to be wired. Everything
now,
it's
definitely
wired.
A wire. I'm pretty sure there's a wire that ran to a receiver unit. But then I think there was also maybe for, I'm not sure. I don't know. I didn't have one.
Yeah,
all I'm going by is what I saw.
You should have been a cool kid and had one of these. What were you doing?
What was one of these things set you back? You think? What do you think? Power Glove in 1989 would have set you back?
I don't remember. Oh my gosh, it was probably. I think it was sub 100, but I think it was like.
I would pay somewhere between 89 and 120 if I was down at the Kmart.
Look at this
in 89 monies.
Somebody's making an oven mitt. Oh, look at this. I want this. There's an oven mitt.
And you know, I do wear the power glove in our Frog Pants wrestling group. If you're not watching, by the way,
we talk
a lot about wrestling.
Yeah, Brian's
today,
he's a little video game nerd in that world.
Yeah, yeah.
John Jagger doing the Lord's work over there.
Yeah,
so good.
Yep, yep.
All right. Well, that's that's that thing. And it's, you know, that thing's an interesting thing to read about. So I would go do some of that. But again, it's
I wonder if there's like any video clips of like, of Pat Sajak, you know, talking to somebody after they spun the wheel a couple of times on Wheel of Fortune, you know, and they have to do the whole shopping thing right there. We talked about this on Smash TV last week. Yeah. Where they do the whole shopping thing while they're there. I wonder if there's a power glove in there.
I don't know.
I'll take the power glove for 75 Wheel of Fortune bucks.
Well, he's retiring, so you can ask him now.
Oh, yeah. So now I can, I'll finally have access.
Yeah.
Once he, once he retires, I'll finally have access to the Sajax.
Yeah. Excellent. He's going to open his hole. He's going to open his, his records, his archives, and let everybody know what the hell is going on over there.
Him Vanna White, I think, is from Myrtle Beach, which is around my way. And she was often.
She's still there. I think she hasn't said whether she's going to continue or not.
I think it's about the money, and I don't blame her. She deserves so much. She's like, she's been watching these people get the money. She wants to put the money in her pockets.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Right.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Look at him playing Nintendo or playing Mario.
You asked me why you tuned into Wheel of Fortune. It ain't Pat Sajak.
No, it ain't. It ain't that. You watch for Vanna White turning over the letters, man. You know what she does now? She doesn't even do anything now. She walks up to the letter. They're all digital now.
Yeah, she just touches it.
Just touches it. It's kind of.
You think she needs to pay paid less now because she's using less effort?
I'm kind of annoyed by it. It kind of bugs me. It's like, what are you actually doing?
Right.
It's not her fault. I don't blame her.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a weird presentation, man.
It's hilarious that we have to sometimes associate physical labor to value the salary of someone. Sometimes it's funny that we would think that way, but we do. It's like, oh, yeah,
same year we got Broderbund's U-Force power thing controller deal. Remember this U-Force power field controller?
I only remember it in the fact that I watched a video on it about 2 months ago. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah, it was like a little, it almost looked like a battleship kind of.
Yeah, that's
thing.
A good way to think about it. It looks like there's a base. Like if you ever play Battleship, you flip up the little case. Yeah. It's like an open case, right?
Yeah.
And you got your ships on the bottom, and then you got your opponents up top, right? And so it kind of looks like that. And the reason why is because it's got light sensors, right? It detects infrared that detects your hand proximity to that grid.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It's like a gesture recognition stuff. It used all infrared, like you mentioned. I don't think there were any kids that were like, ooh, Broderbund.
Broderbund.
My favorite brand.
You did it again, Broderbund.
Yeah, good job, Broderbund. I don't know why that just seems so stupid, that name.
It does. Broderbund, I've always love hated that name, but the U-Force Power Field Controller, that is definitely marketing towards the older folks.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And we talked about Minority Report. That feels a lot more like that because, you know, you're reaching in that field that's being generated by that infrared field and you're breaking in there. And I think that's more of an adultish kind of toy. I don't think that's something kids want to do.
No, I don't think kids are interested in that. And I definitely don't think they like the name Broderbund.
No. And the problem was, it's a really good gimmick. But it is unlike Rob. Rob's not broken, okay? Nintendo sold Rob. It's a gimmick, but it's not broken.
Mm-hmm.
So this is broken. It's a gimmick and it's broken
because
it's not responsive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't consistently operate like it's supposed to. Rob would consistently move slow. And there's a reason why Rob moves slow, because that was the way they could control quality control and make sure that Rob was functional over a long period of time. Never to disappoint you by being broken, maybe disappoint you by why would he move faster.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, we talked about it or mentioned it last week. Konami made something called the Laser Scope, and this is a thing you could buy. You could play things like Duck Hunt with it, but all the other shootery games, they had their own. You had to yell fire every time you shot. There's a kid on the box there, chat. You can see there's the actual device up close. You'd wrap this around your head. It looked kind of futuristic and in a kind of Airwolf kind of way.
Yeah, it looked like you're right. It looks like a pilot's helmet you put on. But it's just really headphones is what it is. It's headphones. And then on the top was an attachment that you could either put on or keep off. You could wear it like headphones. I don't know why you would. They're crappy headphones from what I've read.
Terrible.
But you can put essentially a blaster, whatever you want to call it, a light gun. You can put a light gun basically on your face is what you're doing.
That's all it was.
And that's all it was. And it was activated by a microphone when you would say fire. You could say other words too.
You could say whatever you want. You could go shit and it would fire.
Shit.
Yeah. Or your mom would go, Bill, and it would fire. And your mom, quit yelling my name. And then it would fire because you said mom. You know, it didn't matter.
Yeah. Or you could take it off and use the headphones. Anyway, it was a terrible idea because first of all, people already, I mean, we already, well, we know it now. I mean, people don't even like wearing 3D glasses and stuff, but this is a whole thing that goes in your head.
Yeah.
It's a whole headset, you know, varying sizes and head. I mean, look how long, you know, Oculus spent, you know, making headsets comfortable for all heads.
Yeah.
And Konami's just like, hey, we got some plastic. Let's send these things out, you know, and it's like, and the head sizes are all wrong. If you had a big head, that would affect how, you know, it would point. And it's got a point to the TV because it's got, you know, it's got little sensors and stuff inside of it. So
I never had this one. This is one I just
never had one
but didn't have. The other one I knew about and wish I had was the NES Advantage. This is worth a mention today because it's an interesting device that I think is basically the design aesthetic anyway that the 8-bit do guys did for, they have an arcade stick that looks just like this now.
Yeah.
A little bit of difference, but basically it was meant for like, yeah, you got the arcade in your hands. Yeah. Look at this. And it also worked with, you know, the NES.
Yeah.
And it was cool.
This is cool. This is actually a peripheral. This is the reason why I thought this is worth a mention. It's a peripheral, actually not a gimmick. Mm-hmm. It's functional. It enhances the experience.
Right.
So they got one right. Nailed it.
They did. They got it right. I'll give them credit for this one. I don't know that it sold very well. I don't know who it was for because fighting games weren't really a thing yet.
Right.
So there's some questions about that.
Did systems had a lot of arcade ports. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, of course you want to do the arcade port with the arcade stick.
Mm-hmm. And here, by the way, chat room, I'll show you a picture here. Here's 8-bit Do's arcade stick. And this is basically not that, obviously, because this has got six buttons and a bunch of other tuner stuff and everything. But it's in that, it's in the spirit of that thing.
Yeah.
And it works. It's cool. I like 8-bit Do a lot. So if you haven't been to their website in a while, you should go check out their new stuff. They have a keyboard. Have you seen this clicky keyboard they're making?
Oh, I was reading about the keyboard, Dave, but I have not seen any pictures. You got pictures of it?
Yeah, 8-bit. Well, it's just on their site, but 8-bit Do retro mechanical keyboards. This is an actual clicky mechanical keyboard. And I don't know what the...
Were those two big easy buttons? Looks like the easy buttons from Staples.
What are those for? I don't even know what that is.
Two big red buttons. I don't know what you do with it, but I'm down. And I want that PC back. I want that IBM as well. I want that IBM and that. I want everything that's on that desk.
You want all these tapes? Oh my gosh, look at all this shit.
Yeah. What does it say down there? You're over top of it. What does that thing say? What does it say it is?
Which one? The
the little controller thing. They're red buttons.
They're programmables. Let's see. Do they have a name? I'm trying to see if they have a name. Oh, they have Famicom and NES style of the keyboard and colors.
I'm always jealous of Famicom and how it looks with that grays and brown that beige cool kind of in the reds.
Yeah, dude. I'm a fan.
We got a VCR looking mofo in our first.
Yeah, we got screwed. See, magnetic adapter compartment, classic power LED. Hold on. Let's see. Oh, there is a mouse, two button mouse.
Is that the big red thing?
I don't know what those buttons are. I guess can I buy these?
Like, I guess you're just programming them, right? So the NES mouse looks like NES, by the way. It's got a little, it's got a D pad on the thumb. It's pretty neat looking, by the way. If you've never seen it.
By the way,
they've had that one for a while.
My favorite new. So if you're looking for a controller for new stuff, I have a recommendation.
Yeah,
I picked one of these up. I got it wired because I like wired on my PC. It's just fast. I don't have to deal with any kind of fruity Bluetooth crap. but I got their version of the Series SX sort of replacement controller
for
PC, and it is freaking great. I love this thing. It's a beast. It does all the stuff that a stock one would do, but for like less than half the price. And it's really tight. So if you're looking for a good PC controller, this thing has been awesome. I love it.
I like it.
Can't say enough about that. I have
Say more. Say more, Scott.
I have like 10 of their controllers. I don't know what my problem is.
Yeah, I do too. I'm the same way. But we've talked about this before. I have more controllers than consoles because usually most consoles have a couple of controllers. I've got a ridiculous amount of controllers. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Why do you need more? Ridiculous. Why do I need more? The answer is I don't need more.
But I want them.
I want this. Look at these sweet Genesis. They got a white one and a black one. Six button Genesis controllers. Oh, sexy.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to tell you though, with the next controller I'm going to pick up, I have that one right now that's just on screen a few seconds ago. It is the M30. It's my Mega Drive.
Oh yeah, look at you.
30 wireless.
I have that one too somewhere.
Genesis back there.
I don't know where that is.
I really like this one. It's got, like I said, it's wireless and plugs directly into your regular old Genesis or Mega Drive. 8-bit do. But what I really want is the wireless Sega controller, the wireless Mega Drive controller for Nintendo. Nintendo makes an official one that you can play Sega Genesis games with.
Oh, that's right. They do.
Yeah.
I wonder how those are. I'm kind of curious about those. Yeah. Although I don't pay for the upgraded monthly to play all the Genesis and N64 stuff on there. But you know what tempts me to do that is that I can play Mario Golf 64 on there.
Right.
That's the best Mario Golf game ever made.
It's Mario.
It's so good. It's so good, dude.
Let me see if they'll let me order it. Sometimes Nintendo is it only offers you to be able to get certain controllers when you're doing certain things. Oh yeah, looks like I can log in to purchase. $50. Just posted in Discord for you, mm-hmm. by the way.
Thank you.
But it's just the 3-button Sega Genesis control pad that you can use with your Switch.
Nice.
Sexy. $50, man.
Oh, and they got Wi-Fi controllers. These guys are great. Yeah. This is the one I got for when I play retro games on a PC or something. And this is what called the Pro 2. It's got the Nintendo button layout and all the extra buttons and switches, but they're awesome. For real. They're my favorite. I know there are a couple of people in our community where every time I bring up 8-bit do, they get mad.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know who these few people are. I've encountered the same people very angry about 8-bit do. I don't know. Maybe why? I am just a casual gamer in comparison to how these people are hardcore gaming. Maybe. I don't know. But they do sometimes occasionally complain about, button problems or something else.
Maybe I haven't had any of those issues. And I play with mine all the time. All the time.
I do, too. But maybe I've got so many controllers that it's like, I guess it's like having, if you only have one pair of shoes, as opposed to the many pairs of shoes I have.
Yeah, you're a shoe guy. You're a shoe.
Yeah, and I only, and so I don't ever get creases on the tongues.
The tongues.
Well, what do you call this?
No, you're right.
When they get creases, yeah.
They're tongues. I just have always hated that shoes have a tongue.
Tongue.
It's gross. All right. Well, there's your look at some of the highlights of the NES era of peripherals. Who knows? One day we may get more into what other people like Sega and others were doing. But
oh, dude. Yes. Sega had a, they were trying to.
They had a moment.
Keep up. They had to keep up. They had a ton of stuff, too. We'll definitely have one of those.
Yeah. And I mean, hell, you could look at the stack that is a Sega CD underneath, a Genesis on top of that, a 32X on top of that. Like, those guys were nuts. And that doesn't even count, like, CDX, the Nomad, Game Gear with its freaking TV tuner, like, all that weird shit.
Would that work today if, let's say Xbox, or let's say PlayStation 5, let's say the PS5 was to come out and sit, and Sony was like, hey, check out this new giant head you can stick on top of it that allows you to play VR games or something. Would you be even interested in something that's stacked? Is technology stacking just a never going to happen? Is that just a...
I don't know, but I kind of absolutely loved it when it was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I was, I thought that was so stupid and great. I couldn't even fit my damn Genesis under the thing. Although I did get the Genesis 2 and the CD 2, which meant they were... The CD was like a more compact thing.
Right.
And so it sat next to it. So it was more like a long console thing. So that was better. But still, you put the 32X on top of that, and then you put some big-ass cartridge on top of that. And it was just like, where do I fit this? Where does this go?
Hey, think about this for a minute. Okay, here's my Nintendo pitch. They're always gimmicking stuff up.
Go.
Okay, so Nintendo comes out with something, let's say about the size of an original NES.
Yeah.
Something like suitcase-sized, almost like a small suitcase. And they said, you can now take your Switch without the controllers, and you can dock it into this new unit, and it's just as powerful as a PS5. Oh, we're going to call it the
PlayStation.
No, we're not going to say PlayStation.
Oh, sorry.
We're going to call it the Zap About. I don't know.
The Dirt Weasel 2. I don't know.
The Dirt Weasel 2. Would you be down with that? Like for $200, you can buy this, and you stick your Switch in it, and it's just as fast as a PS5.
I mean,
what do you think about that?
Yeah.
Would you?
Would I?
Would you run to the store?
price matters, right? I need to know
price
that.
Price matters. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, what? It's like $399 for a Switch. I mean, so you gotta make the whole combined price something similar to a PS5. So,
yeah. You know. Yeah, so if you've already got the Switch, you take out that value, and then if you're telling me the rest, it kind of equals that when I'm done. I think I'd probably do it.
Yeah, it's just a little case. It's got maybe like it's got a 4080 in it or something. Maybe not. So that's something that beef. They like to use obsolete technology to kind of. But yeah, anyway, yeah,
be like a 2080 or something. Right. So you dock that thing in there, and bam, you're at the equal of whatever that is. I mean, I think the reason we'll never see that again is because Sega proved it failed. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right? They put in the work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is crazy. Did you know 8-Bit Do does mod kits for original Saturn controllers?
I did not know that.
So they'll give you the circuit board.
Oh,
that's wild. So basically, you gut your plastic,
right?
And you change all the internals, including you can put like USB-C sticking out of there and all that. That's cool. Solderless, it says. How's that possible?
Right. Right.
All right, these guys are cool. When your whole company just does controller shit, I'm listening, okay?
I'm listening. Give me
your controls. All right, well, let's move on to a little game we like to play each week called Guess Our Game.
Destroy it.
We play a little audio from a game, an old one usually, and we try to guess what it is. Almost always it's old.
Every time it's an older one. I mean, yeah, you don't have to like temper that statement.
I don't know why.
Absolutely, 100% of the time.
Always old. Old by some measure of age, okay?
Right.
Today, I'm going to start with a game from 1997 for the PlayStation 1 that I think you're going to not get. Maybe you will.
Okay. Challenge.
I don't know, but you got three questions.
Accepted.
You got three questions, and that's it, and then a guess. So here goes. I'll play it.
The evil mother slashed to death.
With a knife?
Now, as you can tell...
No, it sounds crazy, but it looks like they were killed with a giant pair of scissors.
Something I want to say about this real quick. Let me pause that. Games of that era did not know how to sound mix.
Right.
Music's too loud. Voices are too low.
It's all over the place.
In fact, the way this one started, guys talking over someone else, it's just like really bad. But that is how the game was. I own this game. Here's more.
Search for prey. A trail of terror stretches across Europe, from Norway to England.
Here it is, the Barrows Mansion. We have to go there and look around, or we'll never solve the mystery of Scissorman.
Got to be joking. It's way too dangerous.
Okay, that's the intro. This is mostly what the game sounds like.
Okay. Played this, but it sounds real familiar, like I've watched video of it before.
You might have. Listen to this coming up. She goes down a ladder. Oh, that's a hint. There's a she in this game.
Oh, is it She-Ra? No, I don't. Oh, wow. What's she doing there?
It almost sounds dirty. She's climbing
a
ladder.
I've seen them a few times already. They are probably the ghosts of the children killed here.
So many.
All right, that's the entirety of the clip. Any ideas what that
okay,
is?
Okay. So let's start whittling this thing down, see if we can figure it out. Okay. Is it a point and click adventure?
It is not a point and click adventure, although I will say, like we do with these questions, it is an adventure.
Okay, adventure. Okay.
Kind of.
Am I solving environmental puzzles? Mostly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you are. You are definitely doing that. You've got to solve all sorts of, I'd call them puzzles and mysteries. How about that?
They definitely felt like a mystery. So, yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. I don't know what this is, I don't think. Was this a third-party developer?
Yes, Japanese developer. I'll tell you that four people in the chat have it.
So everybody knows except for me.
Brian. I'll say this. This will help you maybe a little bit. This was around the time Resident Evil was big.
Okay.
And so this was someone else's attempt in that space.
Oh, like a Resident Evil type thing. So it uses tank controls kind of thing? Or
kind of. Yeah, I guess it did. Mm. You know, and I kind of lied before. I didn't lie, but it does sort of use... there are click and point and click aspects,
right? Right, but not like your typical 2D.
No,
you know, find a hidden object, find a thing on screen, right? Not like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, more like what you said, like the Resident Evil kind of.
the Wraith in the chat is 100% right. This is not Choplifter. Good job, dude.
This is not Choplifter, yeah. So it must be Lifter Chops. It's
Lifter Chops, everybody.
Lifter Chops. I'm gonna go with.
You have one more
Jack
question,
the Ripper.
Right? Don't you have one more? I think you have one more.
Oh, did I? Okay.
I think so.
Gosh, doesn't matter because I don't have any more ideas. I mean, I can see what the game looks like. Yeah. I imagine it's a kind of a dark game. Mysterious. Is it Clue 1998?
Let me find out if it's Clue 1998. Is it Clue 1998? No, it is not. This game is Clock Tower or The Clock Tower.
Clock Tower. Okay. Yeah. Clock Tower. Okay. Yep. I got you.
Do you remember that game? It was a survival horror deal.
I have watched a video of this. I never played this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I recognize the audio.
Me and my buddy Andrew played it because we were really into Resident Evil and we were like, ooh, another horror game. Let's try this.
Yeah.
And it was scary because there was this little scissor guy that would chase you with huge scissors. Down these hallways, and you would have to go hide and avoid him for parts of the game, and it was legit intense, like freaked us the hell out.
That's probably my jam. We probably need to cover this eventually because that you're describing things that I love. Yeah. And I love.
Do you like a scary game? Do you like a?
Oh, I love the scary game. What I really love is that voiceover work that woman was working.
Yeah.
She was like, I think they were trying to literally go, how does Resident Evil deliver? Let's do it like that.
Yeah, top stuff. This was also a Japanese developer, although I didn't look up the info, but it's an odd mix of different things. It's not, it never, some people really like Clock Tower, but I don't think it ever reached the levels that Resident Evil, was doing. But it was interesting to be sure.
You said this was for the PS1, right?
PS1, PlayStation 1, yeah. It looked like utter ass.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, I've seen this. Yeah, I've seen this a bunch of times.
It just looks like ass. Look at those people.
Actually, I think I've mostly watched stuff from the second one.
Oh, Clock Tower. Was there a Clock Tower 2? I never played it.
Yeah, I think it's maybe PS2, right? What I'm thinking of.
Was it PS2? Tower?
No, I think it was on this PlayStation 1 still.
Let's see here. Struggle Within, it was called, and it came out... You're right, PlayStation 1. Second game in the series, although it came out a year earlier than this one did in Japan, and then it would come out a year later, like 98, I guess. Anyway, Clock Tower, hell of a thing.
Clock Tower.
All right, Brian, I'm going to do yours now. You lose, so now let's see if I can lose or win.
You lose. Yeah. Let's see if I can win.
That's right. Tell me about this. What's my clues?
So I decided to go back a little further. I'm going at the arcade. In 1984, I never played this game. I never played it at the arcade. Let's put it that way. Let's put it that way. I've never played at the arcade. I played it elsewhere.
Okay.
And I really liked how the arcade version went, and I want to go back and play it.
Kick
it's
ass.
Much better.
Let's see what we got here. For a sec, I thought I was listening to... Wait. That very first bit reminded me of... Oh, what is that game called? Moon Cresta.
Oh, yeah, you love that Moon Cresta, don't you?
I do. First question, is this Bubble Bobble?
No.
Okay.
It is not Bubble Bobble.
Is it a platformer of some sort?
It is a platformer of some sort.
arcade 84. Why is this so familiar to me? Is this? See that right there? Sounds like Moon Cresta. Is this getting kind of Burger Time vibes? Is it Burger?
Kind of feels like that. Oh man, I can't believe you didn't get it.
Is it burger time? Is it burger time?
No, it's not. It's not burger time.
Damn it. Was that my three? That was my three. Shit.
That was your three. But you go more. Yeah,
no, that's all I got. What is this?
All right. All right. Nobody in the chat room got it. Wow. I'm shocked.
Here, let me check.
Who, a good one.
Oh, people said, someone else said burger time. Matuba?
Yeah, burger time, they guess. Balloon fight? Nope, nope.
Beer tapper.
Could be burger time. So, a couple people guess burger time. Sounds very similar to it. Beer tapper. It is of all of that similar era. But no, this is a little game called Bomb Jack.
Never heard of Bomb Jack.
Bomb Jack. Now, I played this on, I believe, the Commodore 64, but the arcade version was hot. I loved it. I went back and saw that. Tekkon is the video arcade people who published it. Look at that.
I've never heard of this. I'm looking at some video now.
I figured you probably have heard of the, what is it, Super? Is it Super? Mighty Bomb Jack. You might have heard of that one.
No, I never heard of
that. That's how
either.
I got there, because I was going through Tecmo's Mighty Bomb Jack for the NES, and I kind of worked my way back through the series, and the arcade version, the original arcade version, it's pretty hot. Okay. I kind of like it.
I like the Egyptian stuff in the background. That's
Sphinx,
cool.
Sphinx, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's cool. Hold on. Let's
see. It's kind of got like almost a joust kind of vibe a little bit. Some, you know, it's very platformy.
What is your guy?
Look up the NES Tecmo Mighty Bomb Jack and see if that looks familiar.
Is he a little superhero guy? Is that his deal?
He's kind of like a little superhero guy, like deals in the bombs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Deals in the bombs.
Like they do. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Super. What's this other one? Sorry. Super Bomb Jack.
Yeah, super, Mighty Bomb Jack.
Mighty Bomb Jack.
But this is a Tecmo thing. I think this is where I played. I didn't realize those were related, actually. I did play this NES version, the Mighty Bomb Jack, but I'd also played on the Commodore 64. I played the original Bomb Jack and did not realize that it was an arcade game.
Well,
I was actually thinking you might get it, because I was thinking, I bet you Scott had this in his arcade collection down in the basement.
Hell no. I'm looking at the NES version of Mighty. Oh, yeah. That looks like a lot much bigger screens with scrolling and stuff.
Yep, yep.
I mean, I might. Do you go down? Do you work your way down?
Because I like
that. I like when games do that.
On this level you do, I believe, yeah.
Okay. I like games where it's not your typical side scroll or work up. I like working down, man.
It's got verticality.
Did you ever play, it's relatively new, but it looks retro as hell. Did you ever play Downwell?
Downwell, I did not play that.
Downwell is so good, dude.
There is a new game, relatively new. There's something called Only Up, and you have to just keep jumping on platforms that are just like randomly suspended in the air, and you have to keep like making your way up. And if you fall, of course, that's bad because you're trying to go only up.
That seems bad. Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, it seems bad. And recently I seen one that was a take on that. You might want to check out these verticality games, but there's one called Only Down. And it's the same thing, but you're just going down and you have to be careful because if you slip off, you go into like a ragdoll physics after you fall a certain amount of feet.
Yeah.
And then that's bad. That's bad.
That seems bad.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because then they reset you up high again. Then you have to start back up.
Yeah, it seems real bad. I'm going to check this out. This seems fun.
You know,
it's another, you know, clear the board kind of game, but whatever. That's what we played back then.
That's what I like. It is perfect. In my little bedtime, I think it's actually where I played it recently, was on my Amber Nick, laying in the bed, just going through stuff, going, oh, yeah, I remember this one. Oh, yeah.
My Amber Nick has a weird tiny piece of plastic rattling around in it.
Oh, no.
And I don't know what to do. I guess I could open it. Right. I don't know if I have the right screwdrivers for it, but everything's fine. I haven't, you know, no major issues as best I can tell, but I shake it. And I just hear a little dinky in there going.
If you're going to tinky little dinky, if you're opening it up, you might as well go ahead and replace those trigger buttons back there too. And also do the D-pad mod that everybody recommends.
There's there is that. So it makes it less mushy or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I actually never bothered by it, but maybe I would like it better if I did that. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me either, but maybe it would be night and day. I don't know.
Well, there you go. Brian wins this week. No, I won. No, we both won.
We both won. Actually, we both lost.
We both lost, which means we both won. That's how this works. Now this.
Welcome to the treasure room.
We're going to do emails here. These are actually texts today. No emails. These are texts.
Okay.
And these came to us at 801-471-0462. The first one is Rob from Springfield.
Rob, what are you doing out there, robot or buddy?
Your robot buddy. That's right.
Operational buddy.
Says, this is for Play Retro. Back in the day, I was really into Gran Turismo on the PlayStation and Project Gotham Racing on the original Xbox. Are those types games I can play on an Ambernic? Maybe you guys could do a show on Ambernic and get the game or how to get games for it. Thanks. Probably not going to do a show about how to get games for them because that, it's the whole legality thing there. But
right.
Gran Turismo PlayStation 1 will run on the 30 or the one we're talking about, 35XX. Project Gotham Racing Xbox, probably not.
Right.
You're going to need
something. The Xbox is a little outside of this particular Ambernic. Now, I didn't necessarily say the Ambernic that we have, but Ambernic does make several models that will probably do some Xbox emulation. I haven't looked lately.
I assume that machine was so hackable, but you don't hear much about the mod scene around the games.
Right, right. That's because, it becomes less relevant when you start having an ecosystem where Microsoft does an okay job. They haven't always done great, but they're pretty good about bringing their games forward.
Yeah,
right?
most of it's backwards compatible now.
Like, yeah, and you have some kind of collections and stuff. They usually have most of their library accessible.
Yeah, they tried it. I think they're actually quite good at it. If you compare them to everybody else, they're excellent at it.
Yes,
Nintendo
yes.
and Sony are terrible at it by comparison, but even Microsoft could do better. But yeah, I think you're in great shape on the Ambernic 35XX. I've even played it on there. Gran Turismo's fine on there. Project Gotham Racing, you're probably going to need a higher end model to do that. Mm-hmm. If at all, I don't even know if that thing's been. I don't know what the emulation scene is around OG Xbox. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mostly play I have some Xbox stuff. I play it on my PC, but I don't think I've done anything on any handheld.
Yeah, because Gotham, right? That game was like a modern-ass game. It's a big game.
Yeah.
Whereas, PlayStation Gran Turismo still look like jittery old PlayStation stuff. here you go. Here's this one. Hi, Play Retro. Love the show. Last year, because of your show, I got a Steam Deck. Now I just got an Ambernic. I love them both, and it's totally your fault. Would love if you did an episode about the Crusader No Remorse / Regret. Cool game with a guy who looked like Boba Fett. I'm wondering if there are other modern games like them. Thanks, J-Mac. I've never even heard of Crusader No Remorse, No Regret. I have seen it.
I don't remember playing this one very much.
Oh, shit. He looks just like Boba Fett. Or not Boba Fett, but not Stormtrooper, Clone Troopers.
Clone Troopers,
Look at this business here. Wow.
Wow. Look at that.
But this isn't a Star Wars game?
No. There's a whole Crusaders series, but it looks very much like that, right? It's not nothing to do with Star Wars, right? Am I wrong?
Sure looks like it, but I guess not. It
really does. Maybe I've never... Origin, Electronic Arts, they've done some stuff. I don't think so. No. I don't see.
Due to economic downfalls, the nations of planet Earth begin gradually to organize Earth themselves into huge economic super conglomerates. It looks like some kind of post-apocalyptic deal. I've never heard of this.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the Crusader series because I thought the same thing when I first saw it. I was like, this is some Star Wars stuff.
News to me. To me.
Maybe we have to do this one. This is a really good one. And it fits into my DOS playing that I want to do on my PC EM. So that's
your PC EM? Your PC EM?
PC EM.
Here, I'll pull up some video chat. We can look at a little bit of this here. Oh my gosh, look at this. Let's see if I can get some audio.
Apparently, this guy has no remorse. That's a great recommendation.
He's got no remorse. All right, I'm going to skip ahead. Here we go. Oh, yeah, they're shooting. Oh, I like this isometric shooter. It reminds me of Fallout or something. The original Fallout 1 and 2.
Yeah, definitely very much like the Fallout. But the question, I guess, did we really answer the question? I wonder if there are any modern games.
Oh, that are like this? I would say yes. There is a cyberpunk game on everything right now that I really liked. I don't remember the name of this. It's modern in many ways compared to this, obviously, but... It reminds me of this. What is that called? Chat room, do you remember the name of this thing? Crimson something?
Crimson Butthole.
Shit. Crimson Butthole.
Crimson shit.
It's something
nailed
like,
it.
It's something like that. I can't remember. Crimson something? I don't remember. Whatever it is, it's good. I'm glad we had this talk. Well, there
Trust
you go.
Trust me, it's good.
Oh, I wish I knew the name of it. Someone in the chat's going to know this, and it's going to piss me off that I forgot it.
Yeah.
Crimson.
That's a good question, though.
Game. I'll just look at Crimson Game.
I think the problem for me is I never really played it. I remember seeing stuff from it, but I didn't really ever play it. So I can't get into, you know, what is special about the game. Is it that isometric kind of view, or is it, you know, what's the game loop really like? Oh. I really don't know. I mean, you can always head over. My favorite place to go is for comparison game comparisons. GiantBomb.com does a great job of doing a good list.
Yeah, like this game is like this game kind of thing. Yeah,
they do a real good job on that.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. PlayStation Plus has it right now too. This one I was thinking of, and I'm just going to try to find it.
Damn it. That son of a butthole.
It's really good, though. It's good, and it's what you're looking for, I promise. And it's on Game Pass. I just don't remember the name of this. It's probably not Crimson. I just think there's a lot of red in the game.
Oh, you're talking about The Ascent?
The Ascent! That's it!
When you start to say there's a lot of red in, like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
he's
it's The Ascent. The Ascent is a beautiful, amazing game, I think.
I see why you thought it was called, would you say, Crimson something?
It's like Crimson Deep or something. I didn't know what to call it. So there you go. Check that out. That game's great. That's going to do it for those. If you want to leave us a voicemail or an text, you can do it 801-471-0462, or you can email us playretroshow@gmail.com. Hey, Brian, I heard a rumor that next time we meet, we're going to talk about the Oregon Trail.
We're going to talk about the Oregon Trail. I should probably put that in the show notes, right? But yeah, we're going to do about the Oregon Trail. By the way, holy smokes, I thought it was just that one game.
No.
And it really is kind of just that one game. But God, there's so many ports and revisions to that thing. Yeah. And I'm curious if there's anything, you know, how much different are they? I never played Oregon Trail for more than five. Let's put it this way. I never got dysentery. Mm. I played the Oregon Trail back in school, just like everybody else did. Yep. It's supposed to be kind of an educational game, but it's much more than that. And so it's a very immersive game what it is.
Yeah, it's very immersive, especially the you know, for its time. And there's
not really,
but the newest one, the brand new one that's
yeah,
you know, based on all this is excellent and has that same depth, but with some decent graphics, which is nice. There's also lots of spinoffs like Oregon Trail, which is like a
spoof. Might cover some of that too.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of that stuff. But anyway, the Oregon Trail, and the reason that it's a big deal is it goes deeper than just being a video game. For a lot of people, it was like the thing you could play at school, and it was supposed to be educational for a lot of people.
Yeah. And people are dying of dysentery.
That's right. Dysentery equals A plus in class. You know what I mean?
A plus.
So we're going to be doing that, okay? So come back for that. That's Oregon Trail and all things around it next week here on Play Retro. In the meantime, Play Retro can be found on its own website over at frogpants.com/playretro. But if you're like, whoa, I really like to support the show, like Thomas Falk, Travis Houseless, and Travis Seatler. If you'd like to be like those people, you can do that right now. Patreon.com/playretro. Get no commercials in your feed. Oh, and I just got told that this has always been annoying for Spotify users, because Spotify still doesn't let you paste in a custom feed for shows. So if it's your preferred player, kind of sucks. You have to either use something else or, you know, use public feeds, and that means you get ads and stuff.
No.
Just found out that if you I synced our Patreon so that you can now get our stuff via there and can only get it because you're a Patreon. Does that make sense? It's some kind of weird deal that Patreon and Spotify are worked it out together, and now you can do it. So good news. Anyway, pre-show content every week, monthly benefits. Check it all out at patreon.com/playretro today.
Yeah, and I'm going to do a video posting sometime this weekend with the two zappers. I'm going to see if I can get my Genesis or my Master System Zapper to work as well as when I get that NES Zapper in tomorrow.
That's what you should do. I'm in support of your move to do that.
Yeah, that's patrons. So those patrons get to see me make a fool of myself.
That's right. We love our patrons. That's why we're willing to debase ourselves in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm an idiot.
Look, I'm dumb. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. And we'll see you next time right here on Play Retro.
Get more at frogpants.com.
It's child's play.
It's child's play.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.